Today's shiur is Masechta Chayos Daf Chaf. We will begin in Daf Yutes on the Beis, right at the beginning of the Gemara after the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us that if the animal had given birth, then of course the child that comes afterward is not a bechor. If it had not given birth, then of course the child born afterward is a bechor. And then the Mishnah discussed various situations that are a suffix. And the Mishnah had discussed a situation where an animal was born in the first year, and we don't know if it has a child. The Mishnah said that if the animal is the first year goat or second year sheep, we know for sure if it has a child now, that child must be the first child, and afterwards it's a suffix. And maybe it had had children previously. Ask the Gemara, "Mikan ve'elach amai sofit." Why do we determine this child to be in the category of a sofit? Why not holach acharoy behemoth? Why don't we follow the majority? And roy behemoth, don't we know that usually the halacha is that animals misabrosh the yovish b'tarshis nasan, and that they do have children. So whenever there is a question if this animal previously did or didn't have children, we should ask the Gemara, safely assume that it did have children previously, relying on the right. Vavadi Oled Moled, it certainly had children. Should we say, ask the Gemara, Lamer of Shmuel Kremesvirle, should we suggest that actually the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that we consider this a suffix, and we don't say for sure that it had children previously, is going after the Shita of Rameya throughout Shas, the Chai Shemuta. And actually, as the Rishonim point, as Mefarshim point out, this Gemara's observation is not only following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, because in our Mishnah was not only Rabbi Shmuel who said that such a situation is to be considered a suffix. Actually, we saw that even Rabbi Kiva agrees that when we don't know if it had a child before or not, we say that it's a suffix. So the question is, why are we so quick to identify it as a suffix? Why don't we follow Roiv? And most animals do have children previously. Is this a right that we follow the opinion of Rameya? That's Chai Shlomiyuta. The Mefarshim explain, why is it the opinion of Rameya that is Chai Shlomiyuta? And they explain that the machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rameya, Chai Shlomiyuta, speaks to a very fundamental issue. We know that throughout Halacha there's a concept that we follow the Roiv. But now the question is, what does that mean when we say we follow the Roiv? Does that mean that the Mir versus the Roiv is completely halachically non-existent? Or is pshat that the Mi'at exists, the Minari does exist? As the Halacha tells us that the Roiv takes precedence over the Mi'at. And that is exactly, suggests the Mefarshim, the Machloikas of Ramei and Rabbanan. Rabbanan, who hold that we're not Chayin Shlomute, say that what the Roiv accomplishes is that it makes as if the Mi'at no longer exists at all. So there's no Mi'at to take into consideration. The Roiv has completely nullify them. Whereas it is the opinion of Rameya that yes, of course the Halacha tells us that we follow the Roiv. But it's only to the degree that the Roiv is stronger than the Mi'at, not that the Roiv completely abolishes the Mi'at. Furthermore, there's a Machloikus Rishonim that when Rameya says that he's Chai Shlomiyuta, is that Midaraisa or Midarabonim? Furthermore, as we will see later in our Shiurim, Rameya, who's Chai Shlomiyuta, is Chai Shlomiyuta whether it will result in a Kula or in a Chumra. And again, with the explanation that we gave, why Rameya is Chai Shlomiyuta, it makes a lot of sense. Because he always considers that the Halacha views the Miut still to be very much in existence. Interesting to point out, that the Mefarsh, that the Mechsalozer in his Sefer Divrei Torah says that we know that in many communities the minig is that a Rechmana Litzlan, somebody is very ill, they give tzedakah to tzedakah's Ramei Balanes. Why specifically tzedakah Ramei Balanes? So he explains, because even if somebody whose chances of survival are very minimal, and therefore perhaps somebody will give up hope, so we give tzedakah to Ramei Balanes. Ramei Balanes, as we just finished saying, is chayish lemuta. That even if there's a small chance, even the miut is something that he takes into consideration. That's why it makes all the most sense to give tzedakah to Ramea, who tells us to be chayish lemuta. There's a famous story that when the Rav of Prague, prior to the night of Yehuda, was very ill, and the people of the city, the leaders of the city, approached him and asked this Rav, who do you think should be your Mamala Makim? Who do you think should be your successor? So he said, Efshe Rameyer, maybe Rameyer. And then unfortunately he passed away. And nobody knew what exactly he meant. And they decided that the person who will be able to explain exactly what he meant will be the fitting successor. And they went and they asked many rabbonim, what did he mean? And nobody was able to give an explanation. Until they approached the Night of Yehuda. And the Night of Yehuda said, maybe what he meant was that you're approaching me and asking me who is going to be my successor, because you're assuming that I certainly will not survive. But Efshe Rameya, maybe we're going to follow Rameya, and the who Chayish the Muta says that we always consider the slim chances also in Halacha, and maybe Mitzvah Hashem, I will indeed survive. Says the Gemara, Afil Ken Rabbanim. Our Mishnah could even represent the opinion of the Rabbanim, who are not normally Chayish the Muta, because the Rabbanim suggests Ki Azli Basaruba. When did the Rabbanan say that we should follow the Rav? The Ruba the Issa Kaman. When the Rav we have in front of us. Kigoyim. The classical example is Teisha Chanuyos. When we have 9 stores selling kosher meat and 1 store selling non-kosher meat. So certainly the halacha is, if somebody walks into a store to purchase meat and then he forgot which store he walked into, that is considered a situation of kavua. The kav kavua kamechsa mechsa dami, and we have to be strict and be concerned that the meat he has is non-kosher. However, the halacha is that if meat is found on the street in that town, so we have a rule called the parish, miruba parish, and we could safely assume that the meat came from the kosher butcher shop. There is an interesting question that the achroinim discussed. What would be the halacha if indeed there are 9 shops that sell kosher meat and 1 shop that sells non-kosher meat, but that 1 shop that sells non-kosher meat sells much more non-kosher meat than the other 9 shops that sell kosher meat? The Beis Ephraim seems to be machmer in this question, Neid Yehuda seems to be lenient. But clearly, here we have a situation of Ruben Iskama, we have all the stores in front of us, or in a situation of a Sanhedrin, where we're going to Paskin and Shaila and we take a vote with the members of the court, there too we follow the Rav. Those are Ruba the Issa Kaman. Aval, the Rav that we have in our Gemara is a Ruba the Leisa Kaman. And Ruba the Leisa Kaman is that we don't have any hard fact in front of us. Not that we have 9 kosher butcher shops. Not that we have a majority of the Yonim. We're relying on a Rav that the Rav says the most animals have children. That type of Rav, like Asli Rabbanim Bais Rav, there the Rabbanim won't follow it. So the Chasam Sofer's approach to this Gemara is that even though at this point of the Gemara seems to say that a Ruba, the Issa Kamon, is stronger than a Ruba, the Leisa Kamon, in the Maskana of the Gemara that we're going to see, that we also treat a Ruba de Leisa Kamon as a Rav, we're going to see, in fact, that perhaps a Ruba de Leisa Kamon is stronger than a Ruba de Issa Kamon. Rabbi Chanan, I saw, has a different approach. He says that the lomdus, why Aruba the Isa Kamon works versus Aruba the Lesa Kamon, why that works, is as follows. He says, Aruba the Isa Kamon is a Xeris HaKosef, that the Torah tells us follow the majority. And therefore he says, since it's a Xeris HaKosef that we should follow such a roi, even though normally there's a halacha of Ein Holchim B'Mamon Achar Roi, when it comes to financial issues, we don't follow the roi. But since there's a Xeris HaKosef by Ruba the Isa Kamon that we should follow roi, then even by Dinei Mamonis, even by financial issues, we follow the roi. And that's why when we have a Din Torah even regarding financial issues, we follow the roi and we go bust the roi. Ruba the Lesa Kamon, he says, is not a Xeris HaKosef. Ruba the Isa Lesa Kamon is a Birur. We have a question. We don't know what to do. So Ruba the Lesa Kamon tells us that this is the way things are usually. We can assume that the usual course of events helped here as well. If we're going with that, it'll only, so it's a Birur. It helps us to deal with an issue. If that's the way to look at that roi, says Rabbi Chanan, it won't work by Dinei Mamonis. Rav Shimon Shkop, I saw, has a different approach between Ruba de Isa Kamon and Ruba de Lesa Kamon. He explains that a Ruba de Isa Kamon works stronger than a Ruba de Lesa Kamon. Because what does a Ruba de Isa Kamon say? It keeps on telling us, pointing us in a certain direction. Let's use the case of the meat. We find meat in the street, and we don't know from which butcher shop it came. So what does Ruba de Isa Kamon say? We think it came, maybe it came from butcher shop A, which is kosher. Butcher shop 1. You know what? Maybe it didn't come from 1, but it came from 2. But 2 is also kosher. And the same with 3, and the same with 4. So there's a lot of different pointers in the point of the roiv. Ruba de Isa Kamon tells us once. Roiv, animals have children. That's only said once. And that's why Ruba de Isa Kamon is stronger. Similarly, we could say the same lomdus by Sanhedrin. If most members of the Sanhedrin, of the Besdin, paskin in one direction, so again, that seems to point in the direction that that must be the truth. Because all of these people, with their different types of thinking, the reasons for thinking, point in one direction, that is very much a indication of Ruba the Isa Kamon. Whereas Ruba the Lesa Kamon is a roi that's said only once, and that's why it's weaker. Says the Gemara, so you're trying to say that Rabbanon Achayish Lumiuto by Ruba the Lesa Kamon? Says the Gemara, I'll show you that is not true. So the halacha is Katna V'Ktana, the case of Katna V'Ktana which you're about to learn, which is a situation of Ruba the Lesa Kamon, and yet because the Basa Rabbanon and Basa Ruba, the halacha is the Rabbanon follow the roiv. What is the halacha of this man? Katan v'ktana v'cholzen v'loy miyamnin. The halacha is that a katan and a ktana don't do chalitza or yibum divrei Remeya. This is the opinion of Remeya. Amroloy, to which the Chacham says Remeya. Yofa amanta shein cholzen. I could understand what you said that they don't do chalitza. Because, ish, the halacha is that somebody dies of one son without children, where the surviving brother has to do either chalitza or yibum. So I can understand regarding the chalitza, because ish costs of a parasha. The Torah says that it has to be an ish, or makshinan ishal ish. And then the Torah is makish, the halacha of ishal ish. And just like a boy, we just said, can't do chalitza when he's a cotton, so too the halacha is that they don't, the isha doesn't do chalitza. However, matam shem yamin, why don't they do yibam? Amalahem, to which Rameya explained, cotton shem yimati saris. By cotton we have to be concerned that maybe he's a saris, and a saris is not someone who can do chalitza. The tana, we have to be concerned, Shemati Matzi, islandess. Maybe she turns out to be an islandess. and there is no din of yibum by an idleness, v'nimtza pagim v'erva, and therefore it will turn out that he did a bia on this woman who's an eshes ach. So the Torah says that when there's a mitzvah of yibum in place, so then there's no, then that supersedes or negates the issur eshes ach. But otherwise, the issur eshes ach remains forever. So the question here, so that's why Ramey says we have to have this concern, and even though it's a miut, as we'll see, we are concerned and we don't let chalitza yibum. Of course, the question is, how could yibum be done? The cotton, the ktana, don't have das, and isn't das always required to perform a mitzvah? So of course, the mefarshim explained that even the rabbanon agree that lechatchila yibum should not be done by a cotton or a ktana who have no das. We refer here to a situation where the yibum was done, since the halacha is that yibum doesn't require das, and that's why the halacha, as we learned the Masechta Yevamos, is that if a yavam does bia in his yavama, even though he didn't have any intention to make her into his wife, the yibum is considered a valid yibum. So too by the katan ktana, even though, as we just said, halachically they certainly do not have das, that doesn't prevent the yibum from being a valid yibum. There are other rishonim that suggest that the halach, that indeed the yibum will be only valid mid rabbanon. There'll be a situation like the Gemara Masechta Yevamos keeps on speaking about maimer, but it won't have the full status of a full-fledged yibum. Furthermore, the rishonim ask, let's think about the situation where what Ramey is saying. We're concerned that this girl may be an idleness. And if it's idleness and there's no mitzvah of yibum, then he's left, as the Gemara just said, nimtza pagim be'erva, she's an eshes ach. But ask the Rishonim, if this girl is an idleness, then the brother's original kedushin weren't a kedushin. So b'manavsha, if she's not an idleness, so mitzvah yibum is very much in place. If she is an idleness, then she was never married to his brother, and we have nothing to worry about eshes ach, that the Gemara just said, nimtza chayim be'erva. So Rishonim respond, it may be referring to a situation where the brother knew that his wife was an idleness, and even though he knew she was an idleness, he was willing to keep her as his wife, and therefore that kedushin is a full-fledged kedushin. Or it's so there is a kedushin, she is an eshes ach, but there is no mitzvah yibum. Or even suggests on Rishonim, he did not know, the deceased brother was not aware that his wife was an idleness. But maybe even if he were to find that she were an idleness, it wouldn't disturb him to be mevatel the marriage. And since it wouldn't disturb him to be mevatel the marriage, she is considered an eshes ach. The Rabbanah, who disagree with Rameya, they say zil basaroiva, we follow Roiv. Roiv tanit, most boys, Baruch Shem, last Sarisim Ninhu, are not Sarisim. V'roi Zilbos Kranis, V'roi Tanis, Lab Islandis Ninhu. So what do we see here? That this is a Ruba de Leis command. We don't have a Roiv in front of us about this specific situation. It's just the Roiv that the most of the world are not Islandis. Most of the world are not Sarisim. And yet the Rabbanans say, we follow the Roiv and we disregard the Miut. So we see that there is no room to differentiate, according to Rabbanon, between Ruba de Isakamon and Ruba de Laisakamon. Ask the Mefarshim. But why don't we have over here the following situation? We do have a miut of idleness, of girls that are idleness, and we also have a cheskes eshes ach, that this woman is an eshes ach. So why don't we combine the cheskes eshes ach with the miut that women are idleness, and then the Rabbanan should also agree that Yibum cannot take place. So the Kiva Eger answers that we don't combine a Miut and a Chazaka only in a situation when the Miut and the Chazaka regard one issue and they go against the Roif. The Cheska Eishas Ach has nothing to do with women being idleness or not being idleness. And therefore that Chazaka cannot combine with the Miut. There's a Rashba in the Tshuva that quotes actually his son. Quotes the Rashba, and Kiva Eger says that where do we say that the miut does have some validity and therefore can combine with the chazaka to overtake the roif in a situation where the miut affects the roif? Let me give an example. We have a roif that most women get pregnant, but there's a miut that some of those women miscarry. So the miut affects that roif that we said that most women get pregnant. So we're saying that even though most women get pregnant, some miscarry. But the miut that we're saying that women are islandless doesn't diminish the roif that are not islandless. There, the Rabbanim do not consider miut to be a miut at all. And the way I understand the Rashba, it's as follows. Because we said earlier that the opinion of the Rabbanim is that a miut is to be discounted. So when is a miut discounted, and when is a miut not discounted? When the miut doesn't affect, the roif, and comes from a different roif, like our case, there's one roif, in the case that I just quoted, most women get pregnant. Then there's a miut of that miscarry. So that miut has nothing to do with this roif. So since that miut has nothing to do with this roif, that miut is a viable halachic miut that the Rabbanim take into consideration. But when the miut is, we're saying most women are islandless, are not islandless, and a miut are islandless, the Rabbanim, according to their opinion, discount that miut, and therefore it has no place in halacha. Elam Rabba, to explain the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel and our Mishnah, Machvat Rabbi Shmuel Kremes, the Chai Shlemuta. We must say, indeed, there was no other way to explain Rabbi Shmuel and our Mishnah, other than to say that Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Reb Meir, that's Chai Shlemuta, and therefore, since a menorah animals don't have children in the first year, we have to consider this baby born as a, we have to consider him born as a Safek Bechor. Ask Tosfos, why don't we combine the miut that don't have children to the chazaka, that this animal didn't have a child, that's a chazaka, and we should combine that miut and that chazaka. So the Rishayim answer that we have another chazaka. The chazaka here is that I don't owe anything to a kohen. So these two chazakas cancel each other out. Ravina says that our Mishnah can even be following the opinion of Rabbana. He has li Rabbana, I feel time Rabbana. He has li Rabbana bas Ruba. When the Rabbana tells to follow the Roiv, the Ruba the Loi Talib Meiser. And a Roiv that doesn't require any act. Roiv Noshim is Abrois, as we said. That's a Ruba the Loi, come on. But it's a Roiv that doesn't depend on our active involvement. Ava Ruba the Talib Meiser. When our involvement is involved, that's a weak roif, and loy, there we don't rely on roif, even according to Rabbanan, there we chai shlumuta. The roif of our Mishnah is that type of a roif. Most animals have children because we make them with other animals. Were we not to make this animal with another animal, it won't necessarily have a child. Then the Rabbanan are also chai shlumuta. So the Gemara has just established a very interesting halachic concept. The Gemara has just established a concept that where something depends on our involvement, and we can't be sure that that involvement took place, then it's a weaker situation. And I saw a very interesting tshuva from Moshe. Here, Al Gemara is saying this point regarding Roif. But Moshe questions, perhaps the same point should be made regarding a chazaka as well. And Moshe discusses the situation, a very common issue that we nowadays come across, where there are different fields that where vegetables are planted and grown that don't have, that even though these vegetables many times are considered vegetables that are infested, These vegetables are not considered infested because they have different procedures to make them insect free. And Ramesh discusses if we could rely on that to not require checking those vegetables. And Ramesh says that that perhaps maybe should be considered a roi hatoli b'maisa, a roi that depends our involvement, a chazaka actually that requires our involvement. And as we're learning, a chazaka that requires our involvement is not considered a chazaka. And Ramesh considers perhaps that therefore even vegetables that are grown in such fields, l'chatchila, somebody should do, check them before he eats them. However, I did see that there are poskim that disagree with this approach. Because they say as follows. The entire requirement for checking vegetables is only on a vegetable that has a miyut hamotzi, that has, we normally say, 10% chance of infestation. That's where the halacha says that before I eat such a vegetable, I have to check it. But if we have a situation where this field is known to grow clean vegetables, so we don't have an issue of a miyut hamotzui. And when we don't have a situation of a miyut hamotzui, then checking is entirely not required. So Gemara now quotes a lengthy braisa, which is very similar to the Mishnah, to what we learned in the Mishnah, and then the Gemara begins to analyze that braisa. Parabon, eid vashnasa. If somebody buys a goat that's a year old and it has a child, vadi l'kayim. The fact that it had a child, it's a proof that it's the first child, because it could not have had two children in 1 year. Mikal l'alam. But after the first year, suffix if the child born is a b'chol or not. Similarly, Rachel Vashtayim, if he buys a sheep that's 2 years old and it has a child, father l'kayim, because it could not have had two children in 2 years, in 2 years of life. Mikal l'alam, but if it's older than 2 years, it's a suffix if the child born has an older sibling or not. Parabashosh, he buys a cow that's 3 years old, father l'kayim. Because here, as we explained in our previous year, somewhat different than we said before. Here, we have to be concerned. Here, we know, at least in the times of Chazal, as we explained, that cows did not have children before they were 3 years old. The cow, however, after 3 years old, we have a suffix if this child is a Bechor or not. Chamorah, and the Tanakhama holds that the chamor is treated like a parah. Rav Yosi Rehudaimer, chamor bas arbishanim. Donkeys don't have children until they're 4 years old. Continues the braisa. Akan divrei Rav Yishmael. This is the opinion of Rav Yishmael. However, kshenem dvar mufnei Rav Yishua, when this was said to Rav Yishua, omlehem, su omlele Rav Yishmael, go to Rav Yishmael, tisa. You are making a mistake. For ilu bavad the heyman of teres, if the halacha were indeed that the only time that child is not considered a bechor is if it has an older, viable sibling. Hayukadrecha, you would be correct. Ela simanav lava behema dakatina. As soon as a animal has a miscarriage, and by behema dakat means that it soils, or begasa where it expels an afterbirth, or be isha by a woman as soon as it expels either shvir, a embryo, or shilya, an afterbirth, that is enough that the next child should not be Bechor. So says Rabbi Shmuel, therefore you're incorrect. And the Gemara is going to explain all of these opinions soon. Vani, says Rabbi Shua, Amy Oymakem, I don't agree with what I'm saying, with what we just said. Ala'ezer Shatimfa Bashisha, if a goat soiled when she was 6 months old, Yolet is protection also, she could still have a child that first year, Rachel Shetifa Bashnasa, and a sheep that was soiled in its first year, Yolanda Tavshtayim could still have a child in her first 2 years. So therefore, it still could be a situation of Safek Bechor, as we'll see. Amar Rav Akiva, now we have a fourth opinion, the Bativa's opinion. He says, I'm Anila Basil Demi Gazu. I don't have to agree with what Rabbi Yeshua said. Rabbi says Rabbi Akiva, Kol Shidui Shabikra, whenever we know that it had a child already, Ain't Kama Kayin Kum, then the next child born certainly does not belong to the Kayin. The Kol Shua Bikra, and if we know for sure, did not have a sibling previous, a child previously, the next one, Hareza Kayin, is certainly considered the Kayin. Safik, when we have a Safik, Yoichum Amum Alabalim, if we have to wait for it to become Bamum, and once it becomes Bamum, the owner can eat it. Ask the Gemara, the Maika Mifki Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Shua, what is the basis of the Machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shua? Says the Gemara, Lema, should we perhaps say the Tinuf Paitik Mifki, that the Machlokas is, if there was just Tinuf, not that there was a viable child born, is that enough to say that the next child should or should not be Bechor? Says the Gemara, there is a small suffer, Tinuf ain't a fighter. Just because there was Tinuf, that won't make that the next child should be not a Bechor. Rishua suffer, Rishua's opinion is Tinuf fighter, that as soon as there's a Tinuf, there was a miscarriage, even though there was no child born, the halacha will be that the next one will not be a Bechor. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel suggests the Gemara, is not concerned if there was Tinuf, because Tinuf wouldn't make a difference according to him. And Rabbi Shua is concerned for Tinuf, because Tinuf would make a difference to him. Says the Gemara, no. Either Chazin the Tanuf, for were we certain that there was a miscarriage, says the Gemara, to recall out and let the Tinuf partner. Everybody agrees that the next child would not be a Bechor. The Machlokes suggests the Gemara between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shua is the Choshen of Tinuf Kamuski. Need we be concerned that that perhaps happened? Rabbi Shmuel Sova, Rabbi Shmuel holds Ein Choshen of Tinuf. We need not be concerned for Tinuf. And Rabbi Shua, and therefore, if there's no reason to believe it happened, we don't start thinking it happened. If there's no reason to believe there was a miscarriage, we don't stop being concerned that there was a miscarriage. Rabbi Shua said, Rabbi Shua does hold, Choshen Tinuf, we need to be concerned that there was a miscarriage. Says the Gemara, V'loi Chaysh, is that true that Rabbi Shmuel is not concerned for miscarriage? Hadn't we learned earlier in our shir, V'amarova, Mechvata, we learned on the top of this Amid, Mechvata, Rabbi Shmuel, Rameyah, Sfirlei, it's obvious that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rameyah, that he's chayish to muta, and that's why Rav Shmuel holds that if the goat had a baby after the first year, we have to be chayish to muta, and we have to be chayish that maybe this is, comes from the minority of goats who do not produce offspring during the first year. So we see that Rav Shmuel is chayish to muta. How can we all of a sudden say now that he's not chayish to muta, that miscarriage? Answered the Gemara, when we said Rabbi Shmuel was chayish lemuta, that was for a chumrah, ki chayish, to say that even though it's already in the second year of this goat's existence, and therefore we should certainly assume that this baby being born now is a second child, with chayish lechumrah that it didn't have an older sibling, a kula, but to establish a kula, that we should say that there was a tinuf before this, that there was a miscarriage before this, and therefore the child born now is certainly not, and therefore the child born now may not be Bechor, Loi Chayish. And again, the Rishonim point out, Rameyer, who is the man, the Omer, that holds Chayish Lemuta, says it both L'Kula L'Chumra. But Shmuel, maybe only is Chayish Lemuta L'Chumra, not L'Kula. Rebbe Seima, or we could say, Rameyer, Shmuel is Chayish Lemuta, Bein l'kula bein l'chumra chayish, as is the opinion of Rameya. V'hocha, v'mena t'nefes v'chazeres v'yiladis v'tarish nosik m'fdi. The question is, if an animal miscarried, can it have still another child by a goat within its first year? The Rav Shmuel suffer, the Shmuel opinion is, m'tanefes ein chazeres v'yiladis v'tarish nosik. If an animal miscarried, it cannot have another, if a goat miscarried, it cannot have another child within that first year. So we see that a child is born in this year. There's a clear proof that there isn't an older sibling, and not only is there no older sibling, there was no miscarriage either. So v'hovna da'olad, if we see that it has a viable child now in front of us in its first year, that is a clear indication that it didn't have an older sibling, or and also v'adi leitanef, that it didn't have a miscarriage. Yeshua sava that just because the metanefes, even if a miscarriage, so it can have another child that year. So the fact that it has a child now may be an indication that it didn't have an old, it didn't have already a viable child prior to the birth of this child, but it isn't a proof, says Rabbi Yeshua, that it didn't have a miscarriage, which would make the next child no longer a bechor. Rabbi Yeshua said, "V'nei ena oimekein, el eisha tam for pashin shisha yilas tach nasa." Even if it miscarried when it was 6 months old, it could still have a baby within a first year. Rachel tam for pashin nasa, and same thing, a sheep that miscarried within a first year, Yilas tach nasa, could have a child within the first 2 years. Ask the Gemara. It seems that the tradition, the Gemara, that Rabbi Yeshua is quoting, and his own opinion, are really both saying the same to Rabbi Shmuel. That in a situation that you're saying that you have no reason to be concerned, that there is an older, something happened before, and there is no, and the child born now is certainly Bechor, I say it's a Safek Bechor. But what's the difference between what Rabbi Yeshua is saying and what he's quoting? My Ikar ben Gemara was Svare. Answer the Gemara, a number of Nafkaminas. One afternoon, it is a tifa beside shisha. It miscarried at the end of 6 months. It miscarried at the beginning of the seventh month. And again, we have to remember, the gestation period of a goat is 5 months. Vik v'nai d'ziri. The machlok is between Rabbi Yeshua and the tradition that he quoted is something that Ziri said. Dama ziri, ain't tinef pachs m'shloshim yoyim. That a animal that miscarries won't have another, won't mate for 30 days. Rashi says that it just won't mate for 30 days. The Rebbeinu Gershom explains it won't mate for 30 days because the tinus, the effect of the miscarriage takes 30 days, and while it's experiencing the miscarriage, it can't mate. Legamri Islay de Ziri. His Rebbe's held of Ziri. The Svar Islay de Ziri, he doesn't hold of Ziri. So let's understand this. In miscarry at the beginning of 7 months, and if you say that for the next month it won't mate, so it won't mate till the beginning of the, if it won't mate until the beginning of the next month. Since it won't mate till the beginning of the next month, and it takes 5 months, so the halacha is it won't be able to have a, the reality is, according to them, it won't be able to have a baby during that first year. If it had a baby during that first year, it's a proof that the baby, that it doesn't, nothing happened prior to the birth of this child, of this baby, and therefore this baby to be considered a bechor. Rabbi Yeshua isn't locked into that month. And therefore, even if it miscarried at the end of 6 months, it could become pregnant right away. If it became pregnant right away, it will still have a child in that year. And therefore, the fact that I had a child this year is in no way an indication that nothing happened before and this child will be a Safek Bechor. Ibai Seima, another way of explaining their difference, is the Kula Amisle the Ziri, everybody agrees with Ziri. That it takes a month between the miscarriage and the new baby being born. For Hacha, here we're referring to a situation, we keep on saying that the gestation period of a goat is 5 months. How are you to understand that 5 months? Is it 5 full months, or not necessarily 5 full months? Again, the Shmua holds, it doesn't have to be 5 full months. So, even if the animal miscarried at the beginning of 7th month, and therefore cannot become pregnant until the beginning of 8th month, so we don't have 5 full months left to the year, it doesn't make a difference. Because Rav Shua holds that it doesn't have to have less than 5 full months. And therefore Rav Shua says, the fact that it had a child is not an indication that nothing happened before. Rav Shua's tradition held that you need 5 full months. So if it miscarried at the beginning of the 7th month and it had a child in that year, that's a proof. If it had a child in that year, it could not have miscarried at the beginning of the 7th month because nothing could have happened. Anybody say, you don't need 5 months. Do you need it to go full 5 months, or do we not say that? According to him, the last day of the 5th month, even at the beginning of the day, it could have a baby, and that last day is the fifth month and of when the pregnancy ends. According to tradition, that's that 5 full months, and therefore the next. So if it had a baby the first year, it's a proof there was no miscarriage this year, because otherwise it could not have had a baby this year. From here we seem to see, Dor Shmeich makes this point, the Mitzvah Yom Kikula is not only a halachic concept, the Mitzvah Yom Kikula is also to be viewed as a physical fact. Because here we're not speaking about Mitzvah Yom Kikula as we look at it as a halacha, here we're talking about regarding pregnancy and childbirth, and we're still applying the concept of Mitzvah Yom Kikula. There's actually a question, how far do we apply the concept of Mitzvah Yom Kikula? Do we also apply it not only by days, but do we apply it by months? In other words, we know that halakha is, Rachman Tzlan, if somebody's sitting Shiva, so he doesn't have to sit 7 full days. As soon as the morning of the 7th day comes, we say Mitzvah Yom Kikula. But for Avelis, a Chaman Tzlan and a parent, we need 12 months. And the question is, when we speak about 12 months, do we say Mitzvah Yom Kikulay? And when we come to the 12th month, we come to the yard side, as soon as the morning of the yard side, the 12 months are over, or we only say Mitzvah Yom Kikulay by days, not by years. I actually saw a very nice verse from Rav Shach. Rav Shach says that Mitzvah Yom Kikulay is a halachic concept. That's why he says, for example, when it comes to a bar mitzvah, so let's say a boy's bar mitzvah is tonight. As soon as tonight comes, he is a bar mitzvah. He's considered a full-fledged Jewish adult. Even though he may not be full, even though full 13 years might not have passed, because he wasn't necessarily born at night, he maybe was born during the day. Because he says, being a bar mitzvah is a halachic factor. It's not a factor that just relates to a physical issue. It has to do that you have to be 13 years. At a certain point, the halacha considers you a gadol. So there, certainly we could apply the concept of mitzvah yom kikulay, and as soon as the night comes, even though full 13 years have not passed, we will say he's considered a mitzvah. Rabbi Kiva, we quoted the Brisa say, "Levatzir mitzvu." He says, if we know for sure it's a bechor, that's a firstborn. He is a Bechor, but we know for sure it's not a firstborn, that he's not a Bechor, and by himself, and when we have any Sophic. Ask the Gemara, so what is the difference? My Yikabam, Kiva, Rabbi Shua. Answers the Gemara, Honor of Chaninim Surah, Chola Paika Ikabinayim. And we see an animal is giving out milk. Can we be sure that that animal has had children before? Rabbi Kiva saw Chola Paika. The fact that it's giving milk is a raya that it had a child. For says of Akiva, Holoch after Roy Behemoth. You go after Roy Behemoth ain't Chavos on Kem Yaldus. They don't give out milk unless they would have had children. And therefore, the fact that this animal is expressing milk is a rye that it had children. And therefore, the child born now after its nursing, lactating, is certainly not a Bechor. Rishu's opinion is, it can mute to the Chavos, Happy Shem Yaldus. There are animals that lactate, even though they've never given birth, and therefore lactation is not a sin. Ask the Gemara, Ami Chayish, Rabbi Shua Lamiut, is that Rabbi Shua's opinion, that he's Chayish for the minority, but for not. Going back to what we discussed earlier this year, the Halacha of Yibam and Chalitza. So let's say a woman never had a brother-in-law, and she therefore assumed that she has no chiyuv yibum. The husband chamasa, she has a mother-in-law, and she left, and her mother-in-law wasn't present. And now she's overseas, and Rachman Otzlan, her husband passes away. And the question is, must she be concerned that perhaps while she was away, her mother-in-law had a baby boy, and she has a chiyuv yibum, or does she not have to be concerned? So the important point to make here is that certainly if her husband died in less than the amount of time it would take for her mother-in-law to have a child, that means she left and her mother-in-law wasn't pregnant, and her husband dies, let's say, 5 months later. So the time her husband died, her mother-in-law certainly did not have a child. Even if she will ultimately have a son, that son will not be a mitzvah yibum. Not only will there not be a mitzvah yibum, but as we keep on saying, there'll be an iser eishes ach. Because the halacha is, the Torah says, ki eishu achim yachtov. The two brothers have to have been in the world together. A brother that was born after the death of the first brother has no chiyuv yibum. Here we're referring to a situation where the brother that died more than 9 months after they saw the mother-in-law. And the question is, need we be concerned that the mother-in-law had a child, had a baby boy in her absence? Ena chayshashes, we need not be concerned. Yotzimalei, but if she was pregnant when they left, then the Tanakhama holds, chayshashes, we need be concerned. Rabbi Shua says that even if they left and the mother-in-law was pregnant, ena chayshashes. You don't have to be worried, she doesn't have to be concerned. But lenient, and why is the Yeshua so lenient? My time to Yeshua says that Maksava Roid Mubaris Yogis. Most women who are pregnant carry out and have viable children. However, there are Miat Mubelis. There is a Miat that miscarries. The Kala Yogis, and furthermore, even if she, Baruch Shem, has a child, there's a Mechtel Zachar Mechtel Kevis. There's a 50-50 that's going to be a boy or a girl. So we combine the 50% chance that there's going to be a girl with the miyat that miscarry, Babel is zachar miyuta, and the zachar only a miyat, or miyuta like a shinim. So we see that Yeshua is not chayishish for miyat. Interesting question. Here we're referring to a situation where we don't know that the mother-in-law, if the mother-in-law got pregnant and had a child. But what would be the halacha where a woman's husband dies without children, and she doesn't know if her husband had a brother or didn't have a brother? What is the halacha? The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that here too we can rely that since we don't know that she had a brother-in-law, that she doesn't have to be concerned and she get married to anyone else. The Rashbam says that we have to be concerned. They say here we know for sure that she has a chazaka, that she doesn't have a chiyuv yibum. So to start being concerned that maybe her mother-in-law got pregnant and maybe she had a boy, that we don't have to be chayshit. But where there is no for sure chazaka, we don't know for sure, then it's different. But what do we see from here? Yeshua is the man of the Amr that is not chayish l'muta. So how can we say here that Yeshua says that if we see the animal is lactating, still maybe the child, the animal born afterward is perhaps a bechor, because there are animals that lactate even though they never had children. Alaypuch says the Gemara, we should reverse the opinions of Rabbi Kiva and Yeshua. And indeed, quotes the Gemara Braisa, which says, Tanya Chol appointed to Rabbi Yeshua. According to Yeshua, if we see the animals lactating, that's a right that the next child is that a child born after that is not a bechor, a kivaymer, chalvein afaiter, for we need to be concerned that maybe this is from the animals that lactate before they ever had children.